are you all doing?
Good.
Welcome to any visitors that we have this morning. It's always nice to have visitors, and welcome to everyone who comes regularly. So I'm Pastor Nami, for anyone who doesn't know me. You know, before I start, I just really felt to just say, I don't know who this is for, that you're stronger than you think. You can do more than you think. You know, I had a very interesting past 2 weeks because we were moving house, and it was quite challenging because obviously Pastor Stephen and Noctula were away, so I had very little help. Well, I had some help, but with moving stuff between two houses, it was very, very tricky juggling that with work and kids and everything. And you know, I had moments where I'm like, how is this happening? How did I end up here? I can't do this. And what I found interesting was, regardless of what happened, I kept pushing through and I kept completing the task, right? And I'm sure it happens for a lot of us. You have this thought that says, I don't think I can do this. And then you push through and then you complete the task. And I really wanted to encourage you this morning to say, you are stronger than you think. Quite often when you find yourself in a situation, you're forced to push yourself. And so don't give up on yourself because you're stronger than you think. So this week, who knows, it was book week. If you're a parent, yeah, if you're a teacher, lots of us know it was book week. I've been doing book week since my son was in primary school. He's now 20 and I'm still doing book week because I have a six-year-old. And every year it's still just as stressful, if not more. Because first of all, you've got to remember that it's book week, which I hardly do. Then you've got to choose an outfit. Then you have to go shopping for that outfit. And then you have to look for the book that goes with the outfit. I went to 3 different stores to find a book to match the outfit that I got. And I never got the book. And eventually, my daughter had to say to me, it's okay, Mom, the teacher doesn't mind if we don't have the book. And I didn't believe her, and I went online and kept searching. I still didn't find it. And of course, when I got to book week, very few kids actually have books, had books in their hand, you know. But it was very stressful. And my 15-year-old Bitepo said, you know, Mom, I'm so happy that Gugu actually has an outfit. Because back in my day, right? Because what I used to do, because I didn't remember, I'll just grab whatever I could find, right? And then I would try and design something. I'm not a designer. And I'll get staples and scissors. It was just disaster. And then they, of course, parade them, you know. So we've got photos to show all those disasters. Yeah. So this is the final message of our Leap into Spring series, which is a focus on local and international support. This is where we raise funds for mission projects, and we're invited to give above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings towards our mission focus. So Leap into Spring is usually done through our faith promise giving. So it's not just that one-off giving, which of course you can do, but we're trusting God for provision. Pastor Charlie and the team shared about their local missions that they work through, port care, the food distribution, the emergency relief, the op shop, and the accommodation. Amazing stuff that they do. And then we had Steve Coppen sharing about the work that they do internationally, different countries, including Liberia, the Philippines, Sierra Leone, and India through Pastor Lynn Tobin, working with widows and giving them saris. And building projects, teachers, helping pastors, supporting them, food packages in the Philippines. It was just a lot of work that the church does. So thank you to all of you for all your giving. So throughout this series, you've been shown what we do and encouraged to prepare for today, which is our Giving Sunday. So if you're taking notes, the title of my message is Leap of Faith. Leap of Faith. I don't know about you, but when I think about leaping, I imagine myself doing something adventurous, something out of my comfort zone, like traveling over streams of water with a backpack full of supplies. You know those shows where somebody's, you know, traveling and, you know, discovering things? And you've got your backpack there with supplies for the duration of the journey. You're careful not to fall. My eyes are focused on my final destination, where I expect to enjoy what's on the other side. It's an adventure. Today we're going to talk about the value of sacrifice, because giving is a sacrifice. The value of sacrifice that comes with taking a leap of faith and what it takes to do it. You know, when we talk about giving above and beyond, it means you're having to stretch. Missions is really about God's mission at the end of the day. God's mission to redeem the world through Jesus Christ. And our role as witnesses who carry that hope everywhere, locally, regionally, cross-culturally, globally. My encounter with missions goes back to high school. In history, they'll call it history class here. Back then, we called it social studies. I remember two names in particular, David Livingston and Robert Moffat. These were missionaries. The 19th century brought a surge of missionary zeal to Africa, especially among organizations that were driven by anti-slavery convictions. These new missionaries really prioritized not only sharing the gospel, but educating, healing, and exploring. David Livingston was a Scottish missionary, explorer, who journeyed into Central and Eastern Africa. His efforts helped to highlight injustices of the slave trade, and they opened the hearts of Europe to Africa. Robert Moffat, who I can relate to a bit more, was active in Southern Africa, which is where I'm from, that part of the world. He planted churches, he taught literacy, and he built trust among local tribes. I don't know what your connection with missions is, where it started. You know, when I was at assembly on Friday at Book Week, I thought to myself, oh, I just thought Book Week was just for fun, kids to just dress up, you know, and encourage them to read more. But I realized that they actually have a mission. They talked about the power of imagination and how books can take us anywhere and connecting with the stories by bringing them to life. They want the children to connect with the stories and bring those stories to life. There's a great value in doing missions. One man who understood a mission was young David, who asked this question: is there not a cause? In the book of Samuel, we come across David, who had been sent to the battlefields to give food to his brothers. The brothers were soldiers in King Saul's army. So he finds out when he gets there that there's this giant called Goliath who has been terrorizing the Israelite army, the people of God. I wonder if you've ever felt terrorized by the enemy as the people of God. So we take it from 1 Samuel 17, verse 26 to 29. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, so I want you to imagine young David. He's standing there among all these soldiers, and he's asking questions. He's been sent to bring food, but he's observed something that's disturbing him. What shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now, previously they had told him that what will be done is that whoever kills Goliath will be given Saul's daughter as a wife, and they'll be given many other things, riches. So they said, so shall it be done for the man who kills him. Now, Eliab, his oldest brother, heard when he spoke to the men, and Eliab's anger was arose against David, and he said, why did you come down here? And with whom have you left those few sheep in the wilderness? Can you hear the insult in there? I know your pride and the insolence of your heart, for you have come down to see the battle. And David said, what have I done now? Is there not a cause? Then he turned from him toward another and said the same thing. And these people answered him as the first ones did. David understood something that his brother did not seem to understand. That there was something bigger. That there was a cause worth fighting for. A greater purpose that needed to be paid attention to. Is there not a cause? In the book of Nehemiah, we have a man who has a similar experience to David, where he's also on a mission to build a wall this time. But he has some naysayers around him. Have you ever tried to build something, to create something, and you have people around you who are naysayers? People around you who say, that's not going to work. Why are you doing that? What about your other little project that you've started? Naysayers. So, a bit of a summary. Nehemiah, it's set during the Persian Empire, when the Jewish people were returning from exile in Babylon. And Nehemiah was a cupbearer to the king. And he finds out that Jerusalem's walls are broken and its gates are burnt. We heard that David found out that there was a giant who was terrorizing the Israelite army. Now we have Nehemiah who finds out that Jerusalem's walls are broken, its gates burnt. Before people step into something new, before people go and build something, first they find out that there is something wrong. They find out that there is a problem to be fixed. I wonder for you right now how you're looking at your problems, how you're looking at situations that are coming into your life. Do you look at them purely as problems, or do you look at them and say, this is an opportunity to do something different, to build something? So Nehemiah, the cupbearer, finds out about these Jerusalem walls that are broken and the gates that are burnt. He travels to Jerusalem and inspects the walls. And then he rallies the people with faith and vision. And the rebuilding begins with families, priests, rulers, and workers rebuilding different sections. And there was opposition that arose. But despite the opposition, they built the wall within 52 days. I just want to look at some of that opposition. Because you will face opposition when you're trying to build something worthwhile. From verse 1 to 6, Nehemiah 4. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish? Stones that are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. I want to go down to verse 6. It says, so we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined together up to half of its height. For the people had a mind to work. The people built the wall because they had a mind to work. The mind is powerful because the mind is where you make that decision. The mind is where you resolve that you're going to focus on the vision. They had a mission and therefore they had focus. Is there not a cause? Nehemiah is the story of a praying leader who, with God's help and people's unity, rebuilt Jerusalem's walls and led God's people into renewal despite opposition. I wonder this morning, how do you look at the opposition in your life? Do you just lay down and play dead? Or do you take it on as a challenge, believing that with God, all things are possible? You know, there's some things that come into a life where you're like, this is it. This is the worst thing I've ever experienced in my life. In fact, this is the end of my life. We get really discouraged. But there's something about knowing that you don't have to do things in your own strength, because God is with you. For us as Christians at C3 Kwinana, we have to be reminded that missions is ultimately about the gospel. You know, the gospel literally means good news. The gospel is good news because the gospel, the good news about Jesus Christ, changes lives. It transforms lives in powerful ways. There is forgiveness of sin. There is our true identity that gets established. If anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. People don't just improve. When you're in Christ, you don't improve. You're transformed. There is restoration. The gospel restores brokenness, emotionally, spiritually, socially, in every sense of the word. The gospel does things that nothing else can. Community and purpose. It gathers believers into family and sends them on a mission with eternal significance. The church is often called the family of God. It's an extension of your own family. Nehemiah saw ruins but believed God for restoration. People thought it was impossible. Too much rubble, too little strength. Yet faith saw what human eyes couldn't. In order to take any leap, we must be walking by faith, not by sight. Giving into missions, going above and beyond our tithes and offerings, is a stretch for a lot of us, especially when you feel like you've done your part. You ever feel like you've done your part? You've done your part. You've obeyed. You've denied yourself. You've done everything that they've asked you to do. You may need to be encouraged and reminded of that heart of missions. You know, while I was at Book Week, it was interesting to watch all the different outfits, the different kids. And the older the kids got, the less effort you saw. They were not wearing, I mean, I can understand it because they're getting ready to go to high school. So they don't want to be seen wearing cute little outfits like the younger ones. But I think the other side of it is they've been doing this for 7 years, since kindy. When you've been doing something for a long time, you get weary. But we know the word of God says, do not get weary in doing good. But we know that we do get weary. There's a popular and powerful verse about God's Spirit being the true source of our strength. So we have Zechariah. Zechariah was a Hebrew prophet and priest. He was among the group of exiles who returned to Jerusalem from Babylon during the Persian rule. Jerusalem was in ruins after the Babylonian exile. The temple, God's house, had been destroyed. We've just been looking at Nehemiah. The walls had been destroyed. This is a different time period. The temple had been destroyed. And we've got this prophet Zechariah. The people were discouraged. The people were poor. There were few in number. And there was a man called Zerubbabel. And he was the governor. And he was part of leading the rebuilding project. You and I are a part of rebuilding something. We are part of a mission, the mission of God. The task seemed impossible. They didn't have the manpower, the wealth, or political strength to rebuild this temple. And so Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 to 10, we hear this. It says, Zechariah. So he said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstone to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. Then the word of the Lord came to me. The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple. His hands will also complete it. Then you will know that the Lord Almighty has sent me to you. Who dares despise the day of small things?" I'll stop there. That word was to Zerubbabel, who was leading a rebuilding project at a time where things didn't look good physically. They had no manpower. The people were poor. The people were discouraged. And the Lord sends a prophet to speak a word into Zerubbabel's situation. And what I'd like to say to you is this: whatever it is you are trying to build, I know we're talking about missions, but I want to just talk about you as an individual. Whatever it is that you are trying to build, whatever it is you're trying to create, take that word that was spoken to Zerubbabel as your truth. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. That is how you are going to complete those things that you have started. That is how you're going to complete that mission. The task looked overwhelming, but God reminded Zerubbabel and us that success doesn't come from human strength, from armies or resources. It comes from the Spirit of God. Now, what that means for us is we have to be connected with the Spirit of God. It's not enough to know that it's going to come through the Spirit. We have to now play our part and be connected. Nehemiah rebuilt walls not just with stones, but with God's help. You take God out of the picture, you're doing it in your own strength. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 reads, "But you," that's you and I, "will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." Missions and preaching the gospel are not accomplished by human cleverness or resources, although we need the resources. It's not just purely resources, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. Let that sink in. The Spirit empowers ordinary people like you and I to do extraordinary things. Nehemiah wasn't a builder. He was a cupbearer to the king. Yet with the Spirit's favor, he led a God-ordained mission. You may be in a place where you're like, "This is not me. I'm not a builder. I'm not a creator." But God may be calling you into something unique. And he needs you to understand that with his Spirit, it can be done. We may not feel like we have enough resources, enough time, enough money, enough skill. "I'm too young. I'm too old. I'm too fixed in my old ways." But the Spirit multiplies what we surrender. There is power in surrendering. Quite often when we are confused about what the next step is, we need to take a step back and recognize that maybe, just maybe, we have not fully surrendered the situation to the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 8 to 11, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Before we heard, not by might. That's the Old Testament. And now in the New Testament, we're hearing the same thing. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. There are works that God has created in advance for you to do. Faith giving isn't about the size of the gift, but the size of the trust in the giver. Leap into spring is not just about going into a new season. It's about trusting God through sacrifice and knowing there is a value to the sacrifice. The value of sacrifice. The wall was built because everyone played a part. Families, priests, merchants, each one put their hands to work. In order to build, sacrifices had to be made. Sacrifice of comfort, of time, of energy, resources. Many of the builders in Nehemiah were not construction workers. We had priests. We had goldsmiths. We had perfume makers. We had merchants and even rulers who left their daily comfort to pick up stones and rebuild the wall. I wonder for you, what is the Lord asking you to pick up, to rebuild? What is that wall that he wants you to rebuild? It took 52 days of constant work under opposition, under threat and ridicule, to build. Nehemiah personally sacrificed wealth and privilege. He was a governor. He had the right to actually tax the people and take provisions. You can see that in Nehemiah 5 if you read it. Instead, he refused and fed others at his own expense. Is there not a cause? Giving is not just about funding a mission. It's actually stepping into partnership with God's Spirit to build something bigger than ourselves. A lot of us struggle with purpose. Lord, what is my purpose? I don't know what I'm meant to be doing. First step is partnering with God. Quite often when I pray, I like to say that bit that says, Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive. It starts with seeking the Lord in that manner. The value of sacrifice is that it opens the way for restoration, revival, and God's glory to be revealed. That's what it boils down to. You and I know Christ. At least I believe all of us, if not most of us. That opened a door for us that wasn't open before. Restoration, revival, opportunity to glorify God. Going into all the world, whether it's in your own home or overseas, matters because the gospel is God's power to change lives. And missions is how that power is carried across borders, across cultures, across generations. The value of missions is that it turns belief into action, faith into movement, and love into sacrifice. In 1868, there was an American minister called Daniel March, 1868. It's very hard to imagine. And he wrote a hymn, and I found a few stanzas there that I really want to share because I feel like they really speak to the heart of what I'm sharing this afternoon now. It's called, Hark the Voice of Jesus Crying, Who Will Go and Work Today? Hark the voice of Jesus calling, who will go and work today? Fields are white, the harvest waiting. Who will bear the sheaves away? Loud and long the master calls out, rich reward he offers free. Who will answer gladly saying, Here am I, send me, send me. If you cannot cross the ocean and the foreign lands explore, you can find the needy nearer. You can help them at your door. If you cannot give in thousands, you can give the widow's mite. And the least you give for Jesus will be precious in his sight. Let none hear you idly saying, there is nothing I can do. While the lost of earth are dying and the master calls for you, take the task he gives you gladly. Let his work your pleasure be. Answer quickly when he's calling. Here am I, send me, send me. We are all called, we are all sent on a mission. We're just going to come into our time of giving. If you can just grab that card near your chair or on your chair, if you have not already filled it in. I'll just have the band, somebody playing, maybe Lily. You see, Nehemiah's story didn't end with a wall. It ended with worship. The wall was the platform for the glory of God to shine in the city again. Leap into Spring is a platform for the glory of God to shine. Today, as we are giving, we're not just collecting money. We're laying bricks in the vision God has given. We're taking the words that were given to Zerubbabel as our own. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Take a leap of faith in your giving. Don't give by calculation. Give by revelation. Don't give from a place of fear. Give from a place of faith. Because the Spirit is the one who multiplies your seed. These cards here, you have an opportunity to give as a once-off. But we said we're going on a faith journey. So you can give weekly, fortnightly, monthly, you decide. So it's just going to take a few minutes while you fill in that card if you haven't already. You may have already prayed about it and you know what you're going to put on there. You may have not. Either way, just want to give you that opportunity to fill that in. And then we will pray. I'll just give you a few minutes. You can take your card. All done? All right, please let's stand. Just going to pray over that offering. Let's close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, as we saw today, we declare that it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by your Spirit. And we just commit this offering to you and say, may it be used for its designed purpose. Father, we thank you that you call us to be stronger, to be bigger, to go beyond the borders of our own families. I thank you, Father, for everyone here that there's a strength within them. And I pray, Father, that as they go in that strength. Like you spoke to Gideon, go in the strength that is within you. Father, we thank you for missions. We thank you for Leap into Spring and the opportunity to give into that. We thank you, Father, for all that has been given already, all the sacrifices that have been made already. And I thank you, Father, for the future. I thank you, Father, for the pledges that have been made today, Lord. As people have stretched themselves, Father, I pray that you would bless them, Lord, that you would increase them, Father, that for those who may not know when the next pay is going to come from, where that next blessing is going to come from, that they would know that it's not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Father, may we continue to seek after you, connect with you, trusting that there is more that you want to do through our lives. I've heard it said, Lord, that people are born into the generation into which they are most needed. Father, we've all been born into this generation because it is in this generation that we are most needed. So, Father, we surrender ourselves to you. We say, here I am. Here am I. Send me, send me. With the little that I have, send me. With the little that I have, take it and multiply it. And lastly, Lord, we surrender completely our lives to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.